God will judge for sin. There is judgment, but He gave His Son, Jesus Christ. He died for our sins, and He will save you today if you call upon Him. And you will not enter into His wrath. You will be delivered from it, and He will protect you.
Thanks for joining us for this weekend edition of Equipping the Saints with Greg Lundstedt. Equipping the Saints is a daily radio outreach from Equipping Bible Church in Greer, South Carolina. And our teacher is Greg Lundstedt, pastor of Equipping Bible Church. And Greg, your message today continues our look at the time of the Great Tribulation. But as we've learned, we will no longer be here. So what's in there for us to learn from this portion of Scripture?
You know, Dave, you're correct that all true believers in Jesus who are alive at that time will be removed from the earth. And that's what theologians and we have called the rapture. So we're not going to be there during the tribulation period. However, there is much that we can learn from this passage that should impact how we live today and how we relate to those who do not know Christ. Our text is Matthew chapter 24, and we're going to be looking at verses 15 to 22.
Well, thanks, Greg. Now, if you want to listen to today's broadcast again, just download our new free app from the Apple App Store. You'll find today's broadcast, archived broadcasts, as well as more about this ministry and our teacher, Pastor Greg Lundstedt. Now, let's join Greg for today's message.
They were eating, they were drinking, they were buying, they were selling, they were planting, they were building. But on the day that Lot went out from Sodom, it rained fire and brimstone from heaven and destroyed them all. It will be the same on the day when the Son of Man is revealed. On that day, let not the one who is on the housetop and whose goods are in the house go down to take them away. And likewise, let not the one who is in the field turn back. Remember Lot's wife. Whoever seeks to keep his life shall lose it. Whoever loses his life shall preserve it. Do you remember the true story of Sodom and Gomorrah? Do you remember what happened with Lot's wife? Turn there for a moment to Genesis chapter 19. You see, these are illustrations. When God brought His flood judgment upon the world, He had been warning. Noah, a preacher of righteousness, been warning, but no one's listening. They're just living their lives as though judgment is not coming. Sodom and Gomorrah, they're just living their sinful lives as though no judgment is coming. At this tribulation period, there will be some just living their lives as if Christ is not coming in judgment. And that's what he's talking about. Genesis chapter 19, verse 1. Now the two angels came to Sodom in the evening as Lot was sitting in the gate of Sodom. And I'm not going to read the other part. You know that part. You can share that age appropriate with your kids. And you go down to verse 12. Then the men said to Lot, "Whom else do you have here?" And these men, they're speaking of the angels. That's what it said in verse 1. "Whom else do you have here, a son-in-law and your sons and your daughters, and whoever you have in the city, bring them out of this place. For we, verse 13, are about to destroy this place because the outcry has become so great before the Lord that the Lord has sent us to destroy it." That's the outcry of sin, by the way, if you read those other verses. "And Lot went out and spoke to his sons-in-laws, who were to marry his daughters, and said, 'Up, get out of this place, for the Lord will destroy the city.' But he appeared to his sons-in-laws to be jesting." Too bad. Wrong guys to have your daughters marry, by the way. Lot had a problem with that. "And when the morning dawned, the angels urged Lot, saying, 'Up, take your wife and your two daughters who are here, lest you be swept away in the punishment of the city.' But he hesitated. So the men seized his hand and the hand of his wife and the hands of his two daughters, for the compassion of the Lord was upon them." And this is God's compassion in Matthew 24 for these Jews. The compassion of the Lord was upon them. And we see here, "And he brought them out and put them outside the city. And it came about when they had brought them outside that one said, 'Escape for your life. Do not look behind you and do not stay anywhere in the valley. Escape to the mountains lest you be swept away.'" Then if you go to verse 24, "Then the Lord rained on Sodom and Gomorrah brimstone and fire from the Lord out of heaven. And he overthrew those cities and all the valleys and all the inhabitants of the cities and what grew on the ground." Verse 26 of 19, "But his wife," this is Lot's wife, "behind him looked back. And she became a pillar of salt." Her heart was back in that city. Her heart was with the things of this world rather than obeying the Lord, protecting them in his destructive judgment upon Sodom and Gomorrah. And we have the same illustration here. Don't get your stuff. Don't go down to get it. If you're in the field, don't turn back. Get out. Don't be endeared towards anything of this world at this point. Get out now. Indeed, we know from Scripture, Zechariah chapter 13, turn there, the end of Zechariah, that in this tribulation period, 2/3 of all the Jews will be slaughtered. That's a lot of people. Zechariah chapter 13, verses 8 to 9. And it will come about in the land, declares the Lord, that two parts of it will be cut off and perish, but the third will be left in it. And I will bring the third part through the fire, refine them as silver is refined, and test them as gold is tested. They will call on my name, and I will answer them. I will say, they are my people, and they will say, the Lord is my God. God is a faithful God, and he is going to save Israel, but he's doing it through the worst tribulation that will ever come upon the earth, ever. That is what he will use to judge the nations and to save Israel. But in that midst, many Jews will die, and Jesus wants to protect them. In Matthew, when you see this man arise, the abomination of desolation, flee immediately. Folks, we must understand that God uses previous knowledge of his word and immediate obedience to protect us. These Jews needed to know his word in advance. They needed to know that at some time that they were in the tribulation, that at some time this would happen. They would need to know those birth pangs that we know it's coming, it's coming, it's coming. When he stands in the holy place, we're to flee, we're ready, we know this is going to happen. Previous knowledge and immediate obedience God uses to place them in a secure, safe place. And we are not Jews in the tribulation, but those principles apply by and large to us. Our enemy Satan, our battle is not against flesh and blood, but the rulers and authorities and all the spiritual wickedness in the heavenlies. We see in Ephesians 6:1, we're to put on the full armor of God, we're to be empowered, we're to be strengthened in the Lord, we're to engulf our minds with the truth of what Christ has done and who he is. We are to put on the shield of faith, that's faith in Christ, which will extinguish every fiery missile. We're to know the word of God and obey it, or we will be targets. 1 Peter 5:8 and 9, be of sober spirit, alert. Your adversary, the devil, prowls about like a roaring lion seeking one to devour. He's not chained right now. He's prowling around. But resist him. How so? Firm in your faith. That's faith in 1 Peter in the context of Jesus Christ. Knowing, having a knowledge of the truth of God, knowing that the same experiences of suffering are being accomplished by your brethren who are in the world. James chapter 4:7, we're not to be adulterous, we're not to be worldly. Submit to God, therefore, and resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your heart, you double-minded. Confess your sin when you're convicted by the word of God. And submit to Christ, and you are protected from Satan. Trust him. And these Jews, their absolute protection depends on their knowledge in advance of God's word and their obedience immediately when it comes upon them. If you're in sin and you're a believer, which means you're not submitting to God, you're a target for Satan. You've got sin in your life. You know, if you've got unforgiveness, you are a target for Satan. If you let the sun go down and even your irritation, you give Satan a place. The same enemy who will empower this man to destroy and kill and murder hates you and I also. We need to be obedient to the word of God. We need to know the word of God. I'm amazed at how many believers do not know the word of God. It is not flowing richly in their lives on a day-to-day basis, and they are targets for Satan's schemes. We need to know in advance and need to obey immediately. So then, for these Jewish tribulation believers, their protection is based on obeying immediately God's word. And notice at this point, Jesus pronounces a woe on those who are unaware and directs those who are aware to pray in advance. Verse 19, back in chapter 24. He's saying in contrast to those who are commanded to get out, in contrast to that, but woe to those who are with child in those days and nurse babes in those days. But pray your flight may not be in the winter or on the Sabbath. This statement has troubled me wherever I've studied the book of Matthew. Woe to those with babe, with child, and woe to those who nurse. That doesn't make sense to me. The term woe is a statement of impending judgment. Why would Jesus pronounce judgment on those who are with child and those who are nursing babes? That doesn't make sense to me. Well, certainly we know that the context is it's going to impede their flight. That's what most commentators will say. Certainly a nursing mother and someone is not going to be able to get out of town quick enough. And if they're in that much peril, certainly that could be the issue. But that doesn't explain the woe. It doesn't explain Jesus saying, you are in judgment peril. Woe to you. Remember what we saw in Luke? I think this helps explain this. These people should have been in the Word of God. They should have realized they were in the tribulation, and they should have stopped living their normal lives, marrying and giving in marriage and having babies and having a family. They should have realized they were in the tribulation, that within 3.5 years, this man would stand up and they would need to flee. And I think that's what he's talking about. Again, Luke chapter 17, verse 26. He says, and just as it happened in the days of Noah, so it shall be in the days of the Son of Man. They were eating, they were drinking, they were marrying, they were given in marriage until the day Noah entered the ark and the flood came and destroyed them all. Luke 17:28. It was the same that happened in the days of Lot. They were eating, they were drinking, they were buying, they were selling, they were planting, they were building. The day Lot went out from Sodom, it rained fire and brimstone from heaven and destroyed them all. It will be just the same in the day that the Son of Man is revealed. On that day, let not the one who is in the housetop and whose goods are in the house go down to take it away. And likewise, let not the one who is in the field turn back. Remember Lot's wife. I think he's saying, woe to you who do not know his word because you don't know the God of the word. That you are living your life in this time, judgment is about to come upon you. That you are marrying and giving in marriage. You are not seeing this rightly. They are to prepare in advance. And we'll see in a second, they are to pray in advance. Verse 20, but pray that your flight may not be in a winter or Sabbath. I find this amazing too. God has everything set, but he works through the means of prayer. What an amazing God. Everything is set, the times are set, but he's telling them to pray in advance. To pray that when they do leave, which means they believe the word of God and they are planning it, aren't they? To pray that your flight may not be in the winter. Why? The winter, you're not going to be able to get out very quickly. On a Sabbath, the Sabbath, everything shuts down in Israel. You're not going to be able to get out quick enough. Pray in advance. That shows a humble dependence, which is opposite to those who are living oblivious to the fact that the end of the age is upon them and God's judgment is about to begin. Woe to those with child and those who nurse babes in those days. This is the tribulation. That's when it is. These Jews should be praying, depending on God, recognizing the truth is going to happen, believing it, planning for it in this horrible time, and ready to leave when they see the abomination of desolation prophesied. Woe to the Jews who are not aware of what was prophesied to come, which indicates their state and their faith. They are unaware, they are unconcerned, and they are about to be destroyed. But God protects those who know him, are in his word and want to obey his word, who are praying. They're dependent on him. We can't do this, Lord God. We pray that our flight that you have said we must take would not be in a time that would impede us, Lord God. You've told us to pray for that. Woe to those during the tribulation who are just living their lives, not aware of the times. And maybe God is saying woe to some of you who are just living your lives and not aware of the times. You're just doing your own thing. You're living your life as though Christ doesn't matter. You come to church, you do a little bit of Christianese stuff here and there, but every day you just make your own decisions. You're about your own life, not about Christ. Woe to you, because the day of judgment will come. It is appointed man once to die and then the judgment. Or Christ will come and take true believers away and you will enter into this time. And God's word in 2 Thessalonians says that you're not going to turn. You're going to be deceived. You're going to be deluded that you may go to your judgment because you didn't love the truth so as to believe it. Woe to any one of you who's just living your life thinking it's just going to continue as usual. God will judge for sin. There is judgment, but He gave His Son, Jesus Christ. He died for our sins, and He will save you today if you call upon Him. And you will not enter into His wrath. You will be delivered from it, and He will protect you. He will protect you from that wrath, and the church will take us away before it. And if you're in the tribulation, He's going to protect them at this point. Now we come to our portion where we see that He explains how bad it's really going to be. Look at verse 21. For then there will be a great tribulation, such as not occurred since the beginning of the world until now, nor ever shall. And unless those days had been cut short, no life would have been spared. But for the sake of the elect, those days shall be cut short. For then, when the abomination stands in the holy place, that's the context. For then, the great tribulation shall come. There's the tribulation 7 years, but they're just birth pains leading up to it. And in Revelation, we see God's judgment being poured out, but we see His wrath being poured out in that last 3.5 years. And we see the fury of Satan in that last 3.5 years. And we see the destruction in which no life would have remained if God had not intervened and shortened those days. All hell is literally going to break loose in the end here. And again, I have a problem with people's theology that say this was all done in 70 AD. It's not true. This is at the end. This is at the end. Unless those days had been cut short. And we saw in verses 29 and 30, they are cut short with the coming of Jesus Christ. Matthew 19, these days are cut short. Zechariah chapter 14, they are cut short with Christ coming and planting His feet on the Mount of Olives and slaying His enemies with the sword of His mouth. And casting the beast and the false prophet alive into hell and then chaining Satan for 1,000 years. Christ will come and He will deliver at that same time Israel, but He will bring judgment upon those who have. And it says everyone will take the mark of the beast, those who are names are not written before the foundation of the earth. They're going to take it. He'll pour out judgment upon those. He says, but for the sake of the elect, those days shall be cut short. What are the elect? That means chosen. Mark chapter 13 helps us with this. Mark 13, verse 20. And unless the Lord had shortened those days, no life would have been saved. But for the sake of the elect whom He chose, it says, He shortened those days. Mark chapter 13, verse 20. I don't want to get into a debate here, but there are some principles that God lays forth in His word that we cannot understand, and He doesn't give us enough information to make conclusions emotionally or rationally, and that's where our errors come from. But that God offers the gospel to everyone, that His Spirit convicts, His word is able to cut the division of soul and spirit, joints and marrow, that He calls upon people not to harden their hearts, that He says He takes no pleasure in the death of the wicked, Ezekiel 18, rather they repent and live when it is precious, when His godly ones died in His sight. That the gospel offer is genuine and man is responsible to respond to the gospel. But yet, Scripture declares there are those who are elect. And for that sake, those days were not cut short. The elect are those who have believed in Jesus Christ. They are those God chose. And if you don't like that, you got to take that up with God and when you start that, go to Romans chapter 9 first. Then go to what we see here in Ephesians chapter 1. Turn with me to Ephesians chapter 1. We have these tremendous blessings of those who have been forgiven. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 4. Just as He chose us in Him before the foundation of the world, that's before it was even created, that we should be holy and blameless before Him in love, He predestined us to adoption as sons through Jesus Christ to Himself. Tons of other passages. Let me turn you to one more, and I could give you a list of passages about the fact that God does choose those whom He saves. But yet the offer is genuine to all. How does that work? I can't figure that out. I'm not God, and neither are you. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, let's take a look at that. And while you're turning there, He says, for the sake of the elect, those days will be cut short. That's for the sake of His believers. God is gracious. 2 Thessalonians 2:13. But we should always give thanks to God for you, brethren, beloved by the Lord, because God has chosen you from the beginning for salvation through sanctification by the Spirit and faith in the truth. And it was for this He called you through our gospel that you may gain the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. He chose us from the beginning for salvation, and the means in which was sanctification by the Spirit through faith in the truth. The means in which he does save us is through faith in the truth concerning what Jesus Christ has done for us and who he is. He died for our sins and rose from the dead. The Lord has done that. So we have back in our passage as we finish, all the nations are gathered around. It's Armageddon. No life is going to be spared in this final battle. It's just going to be utterly destroyed. And for the sake of his chosen ones, from the fury of Satan through the beast and the nations, he cuts short those days. And that's what we see. If they would not have been cut short. And the point here is it's going to be a horrifying time. That's the point he wants to make here. You need to get out of town. The time, this great tribulation is coming that is so horrifying. If it hadn't have been stopped, no life would be left. So we see today the event that triggers God's sovereign protection for those who read his word, pray, and heed his word when it comes upon them. It's a good principle for us to learn. And who knows, maybe some Jews will hear this in that day. It's God's sovereign protection for those who know him. If you know the Lord God, you're going to have a hunger for his word. If you don't know him, you're not. True believers are going to want to know the God of the word through his word. And these believers in these times are going to be reading and understanding and praying in advance that they might be able to obey his word in that way. And when he comes upon them, this abomination of desolation, they are to flee for their own protection. And God is going to spare them in his gracious compassion. Some of you are living your lives as though judgment will never come for you. People die every day. Kids die. Adults die. People die every day. You could die today. Are you ready to stand before the Lord? If you're still in your sins, you will go to judgment. It is appointed man wants to die than to judgment. But if you have turned to Jesus Christ, acknowledging your sin, Lord Jesus, I'm a sinner. I have sinned so greatly. You turn to him. He is the Lord. You repent of your sin and trust in Jesus Christ as Lord. He will save you and you will not be judged. What about those of us believers? We need to be in the word. We need to know that God uses his word sovereignly to protect us. We need to obey his word immediately, not delay. Is there any area you know in his word? You're not obeying him right away. You are putting yourself in peril, spiritual peril. We need to obey the Lord right away. Proverbs 13, verse 13. It's an easy one to remember. I'll read it for you. The one who despises the word, that just means set aside. The word despise doesn't mean I despise you. It really just means to set aside. The one who despises the word will be in debt to it. But the one who fears the commandment will be rewarded. The teaching of the wise is a fountain of life to turn aside from the snares of death.
If you've just joined us, you've been listening to Equipping the Saints with Greg Lundstedt. And Greg's message today is from his series in the book of Matthew. And you can hear today's message again by visiting our website. That's etsradio.org. CDs of today's message are available at our website as well. And as a part of the ministry of Equipping the Saints, all of our audio resources are available at no cost to you. To order your complimentary CD, call us toll-free, 1-800-596-9144. That's 800-596-9144. If you prefer to request your complimentary CD by email, our email address is contact@etsradio.org. Greg, give us a takeaway from this message today.
You know, Dave, the takeaway is this. Knowing all that we know about the end times and about the second coming of Christ, that should motivate us to be about his work with diligence, perseverance, and expectancy. We should be Christians who really live like Christians, not just in our words, but in our actions. We don't know the day or the hour that he will return for us. So by his grace in the context of faith, we need to be obedient servants today. So let me ask you this, friend. If Christ were to return today, would you be ready? Would you be found faithful? Or would you be embarrassed and shamed by the kind of life that you're leading? You see, I pray that you'll take some time today to reflect on your life and the choices that you're making and ask the Lord for the courage and the strength to do what he desires you to do.
As we close today's broadcast, here's an important message from our teacher, Greg Lundstedt.
Hi, this is Greg Lundstedt, and it is my great privilege to study and teach the Word of God and to share it with you each day on this radio station. And as you listen, I want to ask you this question. Has equipping the saints been a blessing to you? If so, would you prayerfully consider coming alongside us financially? You see, your financial partnership with us is so appreciated. So on behalf of the team here at Equipping the Saints, we want to praise our Lord and thank you for your prayers and financial support.
Well, thanks, Greg. Now, to partner with us, call us toll-free 1-800-596-9144. That's 800-596-9144. Or if you prefer to send a gift online, our web address is etsradio.org. Well, we hope you make plans to join us again right here for another edition of Equipping the Saints.